Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sunday School today. It's a joy to be in the Lord's house, and it's a joy to have you with us today. And I'm trusting God for a good day today in His house. I'm grateful again for the opportunity to try to teach the Word of God. I'm glad for you to be here. And I trust as we go through this month together, these months together, three of them, of course, February will be Stewardship Month, as it always is. And so today we're going to start a lesson today I hope will be an encouragement to you. It's kind of tied in, again, what Howard's already been talking about. And so it's a joy to be here. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 2. We've just been through a very important time of the year, a precious time of the year. We celebrated the birth of Christ. And you know, without His birth, of course, we would not see His life, we would not have His death, His burial, and His resurrection. All is tied together, you know. And I'm glad today to know that a precious time of the year it is, and I want us to, again, as we look back, also a little bit about His birth, as we focus for the next few weeks on a subject I think that we, again, need to be reminded of. I need to be reminded of this, and I believe you do too. If I was to ask you a question today, what's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you? Think about that. What's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you in your life? I don't know what your answer will be. I know what my answer will be. But I know there's a lot of great things happened to me in my life. But when I try to measure them out and put number one where number one ought to be, I can say to you, and most of you will say to me too, the most important things that happened to me was salvation. Being saved. I was lost on my way to hell. I wasn't, quote, a bad guy, but I was still lost. It takes just as much grace to save a wicked person as it does somebody that's maybe not so wicked. It takes all the grace of God, you know, to save us. And so this morning, I want us to look at something that I hope will be an encouragement to us and also a challenge to us. In these next 4 weeks, we're going to break down John 3:16 into four different things, and we're going to talk about them. John 3:16. But I want us to notice, first of all, this morning in Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. Before we begin, let's pray. Father, thank you for life. Thank you for another year. Lord, here it is, 2013. Lord, we look back last year. Where did it go? But Lord, we know that you are in control of our lives. You're in control of time. God, now we come to this another year. This is the first Sunday in your house this year. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we come together every week, Lord, that as your word is open, your word is proclaimed and taught, Lord, that your people would be encouraged. God, we will also be challenged. Lord, this could be the year. This could be the day, Lord, for you to come back. And God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, to realize that we're living in the last days. And God, again, what already been said, what we do for Christ, we must do it quickly. So, Father, help us now as we look at this portion of your word together today. Bless those that are out. Lord, I thank you, Brother Frankie. I pray for him. Lord, you bless him and strengthen him, Lord, during this time. And others, Lord, that are hurting. Thank you again for Miss George being back. And Lord, we just now give this time to you. And Lord, we trust you, Lord, to be honored and glorified. And always say and do in Jesus' name, amen. In Hebrews chapter 2, begin reading with verse number 1. First of all, in chapter number 1, We find the writer of Hebrews, who I think is Paul, the writer of Hebrews has been trying to inform us of how Jesus Christ is greater than the prophets. He's greater than the angels. That's his emphasis in chapter number 1. He's trying to get that message across to us and to the people here. And so in verse number 2, he begins with therefore. You know, we find the word therefore throughout the scriptures, don't we? And it's therefore a specific reason. It's to go back to the previous verses and maybe chapter to see what he's been talking about. And therefore, now we can see why he says what he says in verse number 1. Again, as he's emphasizing, Jesus Christ is greater than the angels. He's greater than the prophets. Therefore, he says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we what? Escape if we what? Neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Notice here, how shall we escape? That means to break free, to be free, okay? How shall we escape? If the angels and the prophets, in their writings and their teachings and their lives, if there was a just repentance upon them, how much more so is it upon us if we neglect salvation? How shall we escape? We won't escape, folks. There's no escape here. We see, escape means to break free. Now notice, how shall we escape if we what? Neglect. Neglect. What does it mean to neglect? Sometimes it means to be careless of. To be careless of. To make light of or not regard. I'm afraid I find myself guilty many times of taking for granted many things in my life. Not only things, but people. People in my life. I take for granted who they are, what they do, and all that God has done for me, I take for granted. Most of you know that if you've lost your parents, your father or your mother, we have the tendency to look back now and say, I took them for granted. They're gone now. I took them for granted when they were living. You see, I didn't know who I had. I didn't know what I had in my life. I see now they were precious to me. You see, but a lot of things we take for granted in our life. And we need to watch out for that as we go through this year, this new year that we're facing right now. But I want us to notice something. Paul, the writer here says, how shall we escape if we neglect, what's that next word? So what? So great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, I believe this can be applicable to either a lost person or a saved person. A lost person or a saved person. A lost person that neglects salvation is going to wind up in the lake of fire, right? A saved person that neglects their salvation is not going to win souls. He's not going to read his Bible. He's not going to pray. He's not going to be minded of what God has done for him because it's not too great for him. You know, it's like getting a new toy. After you play with that toy for a few days, a week, a month, that new toy is not as exciting to you as it was when you got it, right? Well, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll let salvation become that way in our lives. In other words, the joy of being saved is great. I'll never forget the day, the moment, the hour I trusted Christ as my Savior. He gave me joy unspeakable and full of glory. But as I journeyed in my life, and did things like everybody else does, kept on living my life, there was tendencies many times for that joy to be smothered because I was grieving the Spirit of God and sometimes didn't even realize it and quenching the Spirit of God. And therefore, that fellowship with God was not what it was the very moment that I got saved. And therefore, if I didn't realize it, and I see now that sometimes we take our salvation for granted. We take it for granted. Hey, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Everything's okay with me. Is it really? Or we take it for granted. Do we take it for granted? Paul says here, the writer says here, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I said before, the greatest thing that's ever happened to you today, if you're saved, is the fact that you are saved. Now, tell me, what is so great about salvation? Help me, class. Have a hope. What else? Eternal life. Right. So great about salvation. What is so great about it? Huh? Security. Right, security.
Find true peace.
Find true peace, amen.
Your sins are forgiven.
Right, sins forgiven. What else? So great about salvation. We're talking, listen, we're talking about, folks, this morning, the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. Salvation. What is so great about salvation? In my eye. The writer says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Whenever we do stand before God in that day, if I haven't done all I could have done by God's help in trying to win people to Christ, it's going to be a sad day for me. It's going to be a sad day for you. Because I have taken for granted my salvation. You know? I have not realized that God saved me not just to go to heaven. And by the way, He saved you not just to go to heaven too. He saved us and left us here on this earth for a purpose. And that is to be a witness for Him. And to tell others about Christ. Not only by our words, but our life. The example that we are, you see. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The songwriter put it like in these words, more or less. It's so great because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We can't imagine, we can't explain the love of God towards us as mankind. But God so loved. That's why salvation is so great, folks, because He so loved us. He loved me in spite of me. He loved you in spite of yourself. We can't fathom the love of God towards us. But salvation is so great because there is so much love towards mankind. We can't understand it. It's so great because He so yielded His life and atonement for sin. Jesus Christ gave His life to pay for my sin, to pay for your sin. He yielded His life in atonement for sin. Salvation is great because it opened the life gate, so to speak, for all to come in. You see, anybody can be saved. Anybody can be saved. Now, I agree, Brother Tower, there has to be a certain time to be saved. But anybody can be saved if they hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, you see. So great, salvation is so great because it's opened a life gate, so to speak, for everybody to come in. Nobody is turned away. Nobody's turned away. There's never been a person that's called upon the Lord in sincerity from their heart to save them that He didn't receive them. He will receive everyone. The life gate is open wide. That's why salvation is so great, folks. It's for anybody, anywhere. Red, yellow, black, and white, it doesn't matter who they are, what age they are, it's open for everybody. Salvation is free. It's a free gift for all mankind. It's so great because it's a perfect redemption, because it was purchased by blood. It's so great. It's so great that it took the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us, to forgive us of our sins. Folks, that's great. That's great. Nothing greater than salvation, folks. I don't care what you compare in this world. There's nothing in this world that can compare with the salvation through Jesus Christ. Nothing. It's also great because it's to every believer. To every believer, the promise of God. To every believer, it's the promise of God. Salvation, you see. If you will believe, He's promised to what? Save. He's promised to save. That's why it's so great. Salvation is so great. Also because it's the vilest offender who truly believes can be saved. Doesn't matter how low down in sin a person is, they can be saved. It's so great. It's so great. It reaches from the lowest to the highest. Doesn't matter who we are in society. Doesn't matter who we are in our life as a sinner. We know we're all sinners. So great, salvation is so great because it's from Jesus that we receive our pardon. It's from Him that we receive our pardon. It's nothing that we do or nothing we're going to do or have done. It's all because of Jesus that we can receive a pardon from our sins. It's so great, folks. It's so great things He has told us. The things that we heard before we got saved, the Word of God that was instructed to us, these things have taught us. They were so great. They were so great. Also, so great things He hath done. We look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for you and I. Coming upon this earth, living their life, being a teacher, the greatest teacher that's ever been. Being the example. Giving His life, going to Calvary and dying for us, being buried and raised the third day, and now He's ascended to heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father. All these things He's done. Listen, He didn't do this in vain, folks. He did it because He loves us. And He wants us to be saved. So great salvation. So much. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I need to be reminded. You need to be reminded sometimes of what God has done for you if you're saved. And realize, hey, I need to be busy telling people about Christ. I need to be telling people about Christ. And so we see, it's great. It's great. Salvation is great. Great our rejoicing through Jesus, who? The Son. We rejoice through Him, the one who saved us. You see, we rejoice through Him. It's by Him that we can rejoice. It's greater, pure and higher. That is salvation. We also see it as great will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise God. One day He's coming after us, folks. And that's so great to know, isn't it? God saved me to live here for a little while to tell people about Him. But one day our Savior is going to come and take us where He is. That's great. Salvation is great, folks. How shall we escape if we neglect so great our salvation? Think about it. Think about it. I want you to challenge you. Those of you that are musical, Ms. Joy especially, look at that song. That song is, "To God Be the Glory." I just copied some of the things out of the verses of it to remind us of what God's done for us, to remind us about how He saved us and how it's so great. It's so great to be saved. It's so great to know what God has done for me, what He's done for you. I'm talking about on God's side is great, okay? It's great on our side too, but look at God's side, what He's done for us and saving us and making available for us salvation. Salvation is great. Salvation is great. So we see here, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. How shall we escape? I don't want to get to heaven and be sad that I didn't witness and I didn't talk to people that I could have. I must confess, there's been times I haven't talked to people I should have. But I want to make this a challenge this year to myself. To be more concerned about talking to people about Jesus and helping them to get saved than I ever have before. Because, folks, this could be the year. This could be the time when He comes. Our time is running out. I believe that with all my heart. It's running out. Therefore, we need to be busy. Let's not take for granted our salvation, folks. Our salvation is so great. Is so great what God has done for us. How God loves us. How He proved He loved us. Let's don't take for granted our salvation. Turn back to John chapter 3. God does nothing without first of all planning it, designing it. You look back in Genesis 1:1, how God created the heavens and the earth. Before that time, God had a plan. He was going to create the earth. What was He going to do? How was He going to do it? All of that. He created the heavens and the earth. And it was good. That's what the Bible says. After He created the heavens and the earth, then we find that God, from the dust of the ground, formed a man and placed him on this earth. Later on, He gave this man a helpmeet to be with him, a wife. God planned everything He did as far as creation is concerned in this world. Well, now, we're talking about so great salvation this month, okay? So great salvation. Now, we see that God had a plan. He had a plan. Before He created the heavens and the earth, before He created man and Adam and Eve, God had a plan. He knew what Adam and Eve was going to do. He designed a plan ahead of time to redeem man from their sins. Now, I'm so glad that God knows all things. He knows all about us. Okay? God has designed a plan for you and for me. He knew when I was going to get saved. I got saved. He knows when I'm going to die. One day I'm going to die. He knows then I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to either die physical death, or I'm going to be raptured up like all of us are, one way or the other. We're going to die. But God has designed that. He's planned that. There's nothing that ever, nothing ever shocks God that happens, because He knows what's going to happen. He knows everything. But notice in John chapter 3, I want us to break this verse down into four different areas. And we're talking about so great salvation. Folks, are you glad today you're saved?
Amen.
Salvation is great. It's a wonderful thing that happened to you. But let's notice here something. John 3:16. For God what? There's that word again. So great salvation. For God so what?
Loved.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, notice this. For God so loved. In other words, that word so means in this manner. For God in this manner loved the world. What did He do? He gave His Son. Okay? That's how He proved to the world He loved the world. He gave His Son to come and die. For God so, in this manner, God gave His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, first of all, we see this is God's plan for salvation. What is God's plan? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Okay, say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's God's plan. That's His plan for salvation. We're going to talk about that today, okay? But not only do we see God's plan in this verse, what else do we see? That whosoever believeth in Him, that's God's purpose. God wants mankind to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why He come. He manifested Himself in flesh to become a man so we could believe in Him. That's God's purpose. We see God's plan. We see God's purpose. God's purpose is that whosoever believeth in Him. Now notice the third part. Should not perish. That's God's promise. If a man will believe in Jesus Christ, they shall not perish. Okay? That's God's promise. And then we see last in this verse here, but have everlasting life. That's God's provision. God has provided what? Everlasting life for those that will believe on His Son, that not perish, they'll have everlasting life. So what do we have here in this verse? We have God's plan. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We have God's purpose, that whosoever believeth in Him. We have God's promise, should not perish. We have God's provision, but have everlasting life. Now, today we're going to focus on God's plan. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. See, now, notice as we look at God's plan. Not only did God the Father, but there was God the Son and God the Holy Spirit involved in salvation. All three. Just like in the beginning, when the heavens were created and the earth, there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three designed and created the world. All three are involved in salvation. So great salvation. Turn to 1 John. Let's look at this. 1 John chapter 3. Our time is almost gone. We're just getting started. 1 John chapter number 3. Look at this. I want us to look at the part played by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in bringing about salvation. Bringing about so great salvation. Okay? I want us to get this in our mind. So great salvation. Say it with me. So great salvation. Folks, it is great. It's so great. I'm afraid we have lost the vitality of it, the richness of it, the goodness of it. It's so great to be saved. Know for sure, if I die, I go to heaven. But notice here the part played by the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. First of all, we find in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3, the part played by the Father. Notice, behold what manner of love the who? Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Notice here, first of all, the role of the Father. We find God's, the Father's role in this is that he bestows his love upon us in verse number 1. The first part, behold what love, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. I said a while ago, there's no way we can understand how much God loves us. He's bestowed his love upon us. He loves us. He loves everybody. That's God's part in salvation. So great. God the Father's part is he so loved the world. See? That's his part. Notice also, in last part of verse 1, that we should be called who? The sons of God. The sons of God. See, this is, he calls us his own children. This is the role of the Father. We're his children. We're the children of God. You think about that. Do a study on that sometime. The children of God. Who are the children of God? See, God calls us his children that are saved. You see, he had that part in salvation, see. Also, in the last part of this verse, he talks about, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. And verse 2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The part of the Father also is he will someday make us like Jesus. Do you know that? One day you're going to be like Jesus. One day I'm going to be like Jesus. That's the Father's part in this so great salvation. So what is the Father's part in so great salvation? Number one is he bestows his love upon us. Number two, we find he calls us his own children. And number three is one day he's going to make us like Jesus. That's the Father's part in salvation that we find here. Now notice also the role of the Son. Look in verse number 4. Verse number 4 we see, whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law, for sin... Oh, wait a minute. I lost my place. Yeah. Verse 4 and 5. Whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested, that is God, through Jesus, to take away the sins, and in him is no sin. We see here the role of the Son. He died for our sins. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Okay? That was his part. He had to come and die for you and I. He had to come and die for you and I. And notice he died for our sins. Also, not also that, but also in verse number 8. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, notice, the Son of God was what? Why was he manifested? It tells us. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. That's the role of the Son. To destroy the works of the devil. That is, he might conquer who? Death, hell, and the grave. He did that. He conquered death, hell, and the grave in his life, you see. We also see, very quickly, in 1 John chapter 2, our time's gone, I know, but also the role of the Son is that he is the forgiver of every sin. Look at verse number 1 of 1 John chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you what? Sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who forgives every sin. First of all, we find here in this verse that he died for the sins of the saved. You get that? He says if we sin, talking about Christians, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He died for the sins of the saved. Now notice also in verse number 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for also for the sins of the whole what?
World.
He only died not only for the sins of those that are saved, but he died for the sins of those that are not saved. He died for everybody. You know, he died for everybody, you see. He died for all the unsaved people. And also, he's the giver of eternal life. Look in verse 24 and verse 25. We'll have to stop. 1 John 2:24. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise that he has promised even us, even what? Eternal life. He is the giver of eternal life. That's the role of Jesus Christ, you see. He forgives the sins of the saved. He forgives the sins of the unsaved. Okay? He also gives eternal life. We see very quickly that the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, his role is to, the Holy Spirit is to dwell within us. That's in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24, and we close. Verse 24 says this, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he, that is the Spirit, abides in us by the Spirit, God abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. The Holy Spirit of God, his role is to abide within us. So we see the role of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in this what kind of salvation?
So great.
So great salvation. We'll be continuing talking about salvation next week. We'll talk about God's plan. We haven't finished God's plan yet, okay? We're still on, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Father, thank you for this time we've had. Lord, thank you for the word. Lord, to enlighten us and to remind us, Lord, of what you've done for us. Lord, providing for us forgiveness of our sins. Lord, help us, Lord, as we go through this study. Lord, to be more focused upon people where we come in contact with, Lord, and where they're going to spend eternity than ever before. God, these are the last days we're living in. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to be soul conscious. Lord, put the first thing first. God, I pray you'd help us and then fill us with your Spirit. Give us the words to say, the compassion, the love, the wisdom, Lord, to say as we confront people. Lord, we know people today seem more than ever have all the answers. But yet, Lord, they're lost and they need a Savior. So God, help us. Bless now the service we're about to go into. Be with the singing. Be with our pastor. Anoint him afresh and anew. Give him power to speak what you laid upon his heart to share with us today. Help that one that might be here that's lost to get saved. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.